We're back on with John Bauman, DNR fisheries biologist, and talking about the GLaDOS project in northwest Lake Michigan, Green Bay proper, all the way up into the Bay Zanuck. And thanks for giving us more time, first of all, John. This is really interesting.
Hey, you're welcome. I'm glad to be back.
I can't wait to see where they go with this type of research and understanding the movement of different species. And we already talked about some of the anomalies with walleye, how some stay put, some travel long distances. Whitefish move around a lot, and muskies could travel as much as 100 miles. And I'm anxious to hear your take on sturgeon and the data that you're already getting back from the GLaDOS project from the lake sturgeon that are tagged. And I guess, first of all, maybe we should do a quick recap. GLaDOS project, what does GLaDOS stand for?
GLaDOS stands for the Great Lakes Acoustic Telemetry Observation System. This is a telemetry program meant to track and document the behavior of a lot of important species throughout the Great Lakes region, walleye, lake sturgeon, muskie, whitefish, perhaps others.
So we talked about walleye, whitefish, and muskie. And I know that your roundhouse is really with researching and trying to reestablish better populations of sturgeon in Lake Michigan. So
we have a number of these fish marked. A lot of sturgeon are actually marked in a couple different ways, and we have a couple different systems in place to try and monitor their movement. One of these fish that was marked, I believe, in southwestern Green Bay or maybe even around the Milwaukee River, that fish traveled to the Mackinac Bridge and was detected on receivers that are deployed in that area. We're also seeing sturgeon that are marked in rivers during spawning time, and then they're found at the mouths of other rivers years later, maybe contributing to another spawning stock. We've also found sturgeon that are marked up near the Whitefish River, and then they're captured in open water down in the southern part of Lake Michigan. So it's really interesting information about sturgeon movement.
So as far as data go, as a researcher in fisheries, what did you take from that data early on here? I mean, even if it's just anecdotal at this point.
Well, I think there's two components that are very important. One is just the simple information about movement and habitat. These fish, they need the upper part of the estuary in Green Bay, say near the mouth of the Whitefish River, as a spawning area and a nursery area for its young. And then they need connectivity and connection to the rest of the Great Lakes all the way down to southern Lake Michigan, for example, to satisfy life history requirements for the rest of their life. That amount of space is apparently what is needed for them to grow up and, take 2 decades to mature and then come back and recruit to the population again and deposit eggs. The second is in terms of harvest. There are some populations where harvest is allowed because they have the numbers that are sufficient to maintain the population. And if sturgeon from, say, a population that is less abundant travels to near a river where there's harvest, we need to know if those fish are being harvested and mixed in with populations where harvest is allowed, because that obviously has population impacts.
We're talking with fisheries biologist John Bauman from the DNR. And I guess, the thing that jumps at me is how groundbreaking this could be for so many different species. Well, how great would it be to know where the king salmon go from Keweenaw Bay, in Lake Superior? Where do they move to? Why are they moving? Figure out where they're going, not only to protect or enhance their habitat, but figure out why they're going certain places. Same thing you're doing with sturgeon on northern Lake Michigan. And the possibilities just seem endless for different species and different bodies of water.
I think you're right. I think this information is going to supplement very nicely the long-term data sets that we have on forage and nutrient dynamics within the large Great Lakes system as a whole.
John, I really appreciate your time today. Anything else? Any loose ends we left?
No, I think we're all set.
Yeah, I mean, I think we could continue to talk about this for hours if we wanted to.
Yeah.
But the GLaDOS project, I'll be interested to learn more about this as things continue to evolve with it. And as always, thank you for your time.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on.
DNR fisheries biologist John Bauman, and this is The Outdoor Show.